This hour, we're talking about alternative ways to treat mental illness. And these are by no means meant to replace existing therapy or medication. We just wanted to take a look at some unconventional methods people are exploring to cope with their own mental illness. One of the most promising and radical new treatments for mental illness is psychedelic therapy, using hallucinogens to treat depression, addiction, or PTSD. A few years ago, that would have been practically unthinkable. Steve Paulson has been following this development for years. Steve, what's new?
It seems like everything is new. Even in the last year or two, the whole landscape of dealing with psychedelic therapy has just changed. There's a lot more openness. And now the FDA has recently approved what's called breakthrough therapy to test to see if psilocybin would actually help in treating severe depression.
And this is not just in the U.S. You were at a psychedelic conference in Berlin recently.
Yeah, a few months ago, and there were 500 people from 33 countries there. And the thing that's so fascinating about that is there are different rules and laws governing psychedelics in every one of these countries. So everyone is trying to figure this out. It's a bit of the Wild West. And how do you move forward to get some of this therapy approved?
You've talked with a lot of the major people in the field. What in particular stands out to you?
One thing that's fascinating is for a lot of these researchers and scientists, there's often a moment of discovery, a turning point, when they realize that this is what they want to do with their lives.
I guess the key moment would be when my best friend went to Peru to try ayahuasca.
This is Rosalind Watts. She's a clinical psychologist in London.
She'd suffered from depression for a long time. Told me that she was going to go to the jungle and drink a brew made of certain vines in the middle of the rainforest, and she was going to do it with a shaman. I was working as a clinical psychologist at the time, and I just completely freaked out about it. I thought it was a terrible idea. Googled ayahuasca, you know, found that people had died drinking ayahuasca, and begged her not to go. The really key moment for me discovering psychedelics as a therapeutic tool was when she came back after her retreat and she was very happy. And at first I did wonder whether it was a kind of, you know, she's taken a drug, she's had a high, it's all going to come crashing down. But I kind of knew when I saw her that it wasn't like that. I've known her since we were very young. When we were children, she was very popular, very sparkly, very bright. Then when the depression hit, it was like she seemed to have lost the sparkle. Her eyes went quite flat and she seemed kind of pale and grey. It felt like her whole body was in depression. It was a bit like a plant that's wilting. And yeah, when she came back, she just looked like the plant had been watered.
That was 7 or 8 years ago. And today, her friend is thriving.
It was one of those moments of complete recognition and realization of, okay, this is something that I've never seen. You know, in the room I sit with people in, I never see this kind of change. And I definitely wanted to work in it.
So Rosalind quit her job, where she was feeling burned out, and went to work at the Center for Psychedelic Research at Imperial College London. She's now a psychedelic guide, what she calls a trip sitter. And today, she's one of a growing number of therapists and psychiatrists who believe psychedelic therapy could revolutionize the treatment of mental illness.
Yeah, psychedelic research is blossoming. So we came into this research 20 years ago, asking for permission to give a high dose of psilocybin to healthy volunteers. And that was a stretch for our culture.
And that's Roland Griffiths, a psychiatrist at Johns Hopkins. More than anyone, he's the guy who legitimized the resurgence of psychedelic research, which had been completely shut down back in the 60s.
When we initiated our study, it wasn't clear that we could ever even get approval. And there was a lot of pushback at all levels of science and psychiatry. But since that time, we have run a whole series of studies. At this point now, 20 years later, we have given psilocybin in almost 700 sessions.
Which is remarkable, considering that a few years ago, this research was mostly done under the radar. But just a few months ago, Johns Hopkins received a $17 million donation from philanthropists to open a new center for psychedelic research. And now several other universities want their own psychedelic institutes. These studies are still in the testing stage, but scientists studying psychedelics are now actually talking with the Food and Drug Administration about how they might use psilocybin, the psychoactive component in magic mushrooms, as a prescription drug to treat depression. And the reason they're so excited? The most popular medications, SSRIs like Prozac, Zoloft, and Paxil, simply don't work that well for depression.
It's arguably the major health problem in the world.
Wow.
It's a huge problem.
So you're basically saying that the current medical model for treating depression just basically doesn't work.
Well, no, it works, just not nearly well enough.
Charles Raison is a psychiatrist at the University of Wisconsin and at the USONA Institute, a medical research group that's studying psychedelic therapies. He says recent studies have shown that SSRIs only work for a quarter to a third of the people who take them. And once you've taken them for years, they are really hard to get off of. Like so many psychiatrists in the vanguard of this movement, he believes we need novel ways to treat depression. So you are very actively engaged in research on one of these novel ways, which is to use a particular psychedelic drug to treat depression, psilocybin.
Correct.
Why are you interested in this?
Well, it appeared that a single dose produced this profound antidepressant response that lasted for months after a single dose. Unheard of in our world. Psychedelics were like atom smashers for the heart and soul, and they allow you to see things that you wouldn't see without them.
And in just the last few months, a number of universities, including Johns Hopkins, NYU, and Imperial College, got the green light to test psilocybin as a treatment for major depression. These are rigorous studies, so there are strict protocols. Some people get the psilocybin pill, while the control group gets either a placebo or a low dose of psilocybin. And just in case you're wondering, this is not like taking acid at a party. These are powerful, mind-altering drugs, so it's in a clinical setting with two therapists on hand to make sure people are safe and prepared for an intense experience.
We have a very careful screening process. We have thousands of people contacting us wanting to participate, and then we check that they don't have any personal or close family history of psychosis.
Then we set up an appointment for you to come in and do what we call a baseline assessment. And we measure how depressed you are and all that.
And then we have the afternoon preparing. So we spend like 3 or 4 hours talking through whatever they have questions about. So it's kind of a little guide for how to navigate those waters, really.
And then you come in your dosing day, and if all is good, you get a 50% chance of getting a placebo or a 50% chance of getting psilocybin. And you spend 7 hours or so on a couch. We encourage people to wear eye shades and to listen to music. There's a powerful interaction of psychedelics with music. They make music really pop.
And then at the end of the day, they go back to their accommodation, and the next morning they come in for integration, and that is for them to talk us through what happened.
The thing that seems to be relevant for their psychiatric effects is their ability to induce these powerful emotional experiences like, ah, I see. And to the degree that happens, or to the degree that people have this sense that, oh my God, I didn't realize I'm part of a larger interconnected whole. When those two things happen, that's what seems to predict an antidepressant response.
Now you may be thinking, what happens if you have a bad trip? Well, Rosalind Watt says the difficult experiences can actually lead to the biggest breakthroughs. In fact, she urges people to go into what's really hard.
The pain is a huge teacher. So if there is pain there, if there is suffering there, then something's not working. When you run away from those monsters, the monsters just get bigger and bigger and scarier, and you're constantly in fear.
So what does that mean to turn around and face the monster during a psychedelic experience?
Saying yes to it. Sometimes people see their pain or their suffering or their traumas is a visual manifestation, like a dragon or something. So like a monster coming towards them. And you can choose to either go the other way and not look at it, distract yourself, or to see that monster and to choose to go towards it and to dive right into it and say to yourself, that's a scary looking thing, but I'm curious. It can't hurt me. I'm going to go towards it and learn.
Why isn't that just totally overwhelming? Because the thing about a psychedelic experience is, I mean, it's totally disorienting. It can be very scary. And you're talking about going down and, you know, dealing with the darkest pieces of that. Why does that work?
Because everything you're seeing is in you. So if that stuff is there, it's been torturing you and haunting you and being scary for you anyway. The really bad trips are the ones where people say no. Resistance is what's difficult. Actually saying yes. And when we're talking about a situation where someone has got two therapists either side of them, probably holding their hands, and whatever is going on, those therapists are completely there. And whatever happens, you know, the person might feel that they're exploding or being set on fire or experiencing immense pain. It moves, it passes, they go through it. And that they feel that they've conquered it. You know, it's a hero's journey, that they've conquered the dragon.
So there's a huge question about psychedelic therapy. Why does it work? Can a single dose of psilocybin really cure depression? The truth is, no one really knows, but there are some clues. Brain imaging studies show the frontal cortex is often shut down during a psychedelic experience. So the ego, that planning, scheming, analytical part of our brain, temporarily goes offline, which then unleashes all kinds of buried emotions and can often lead to an ecstatic experience. Robin Carhart-Harris is a leading neuroscientist at Imperial College. He believes our brains are actually wired for profound changes in consciousness. This happens when psilocybin triggers the serotonin 2A receptors.
I think that they're special receptors. Humans have a lot of them. And my feeling is that they're there for profundity in a sense. They're there for fundamental shifts in perspective.
You've described this as a reset. It's sort of like the brain gets jumbled up. It's knocked out of its old way of thinking and new neural pathways are opened up.
Yeah. I mean, there's pretty good evidence for that now of the sprouting of new components of neuronal communication via exposure to psychedelics, something referred to as synaptogenesis.
So it's pretty remarkable to hear how psychedelics can actually rewire the brain, but there's still so much we don't know. And it's worth pointing out, we're still in the early stages of psychedelic research. We don't even know what the right dose is, and for some people, a single dose of psilocybin can be life-changing, but for others, the effects seem to wear off after 2 or 3 months. And of course, psilocybin and most other psychedelics are listed as Schedule 1 drugs and only legally available in clinical trials. But most of the experts I've talked to believe FDA approval is coming in the next decade, maybe even in a few years. And for people with chronic depression, well, as the psychiatrist Charles Raison says, this could be a total game changer.
Especially when we're depressed, we have these very rigid beliefs about the world, these very rigid perspectives. And psychedelics blow them up for a while.
It seems like one of the effects for many people who have these psychedelic experiences is they come away with some profound sense of meaning or purpose that was lacking before.
Correcto. Now that, I think, is probably the core thing. When you talk about them, they can sound stupid. Oh, I felt one with the universe. Yeah, well, you know, yeah, you and everybody else, right? But if you feel it a certain way, it's not a verbal thing. It's this body felt knowledge. Yeah, all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm part of something larger. My life has meanings that I didn't see. That's a very powerful antidepressant.
That's our executive producer, Steve Paulson, on the latest in psychedelic therapy.